2 minutes is over. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome you to part two of our presentations of the APPs. And we will proceed in the same manner. We will have the department giving an overview, and then the council introducing people from the market theatre who are here, and then giving us their presentation. Over to you, DDG.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm going to do an overview of the Market Theatre Foundation. I've got the presentation outline that I would not dwell much into it. Sorry.
Sure.
There's music here.
Do you go back?
Okay. Thank you very much. The Market Theatre is also a Schedule 3A public entity. It was also established in terms of the Cultural Institution Act 1998. And also, it also receives the transfers from the Department to finance its operational and to also address its infrastructure needs. Chair, if you can, if the committee can go to Market Theatre now. It has totally changed. Yo, it's beautiful. Through the grant that they've received from the Department of Arts and Culture. In terms of income and expenditure trends, in 2013-14, the income was 62.6 million and the expenditure was 47.2 million. So they were underspending in that year, 2013-14. And then it, at 13-14 and in 14-15, also there was a bit of under expenditure because from the 85.5 million, they were only able to spend 46.3 million. And in 2015-16, they received a grant of 95.8 million and they were able to spend 54.2 million. But come December 2016-17, with the income that they received and the transfer at 17 million, they were able to expend 17.4 million. And they were in the red at the during the fourth quarter. In terms of their performance, as at December 2016, the Market Theatre was at 66% in terms of green. They had achieved 66% of their target and 34% was not achieved. But looking at the performance over the past few years, these are the annual performances. In 2013-14, they achieved 75% of their target. In 2014-15, they were sitting at 80% of their target. But then the performance went down in 2015-16. But now it has picked up because at the end of December, which is the third quarter, they were at 66%. Hopefully they will be able to achieve all their deliverables. And in terms of the audit outcomes, they received an unqualified audit with findings in 2012-13, also in 2013-14. In 14-15 and also in 15-16. But I think the Market Theatre would now have to get a clean audit with no matters of, it must just be clean, not just unqualified. Yeah, so this is what they need to say. And these are the issues that were raised, that there was inadequate compliance with legislation pertaining to irregular expenditure, and there was lack of accurate or complete performance reports which are supported by verification sources. So it's a matter of keeping your records so that when the auditor comes, then you are able to present those reports. In terms of the governance issue, the council is fully constituted as at 31st December 2016. and it also has the chief executive officer and the chief financial officer. We know that if the center is holding, things tend to go well within the institution. In terms of the council, they've got 8 members. The number of council meetings that they had in 2016-17, they had 5, because if there are issues to be resolved at times, then there are these special council meetings. And the number of council committee meetings, 7. The attendance rate is fairly well. It's okay at 93%. And the number of audit committee meetings is at 4. Number of management meetings, 11. Staff meetings are held regularly, because thus far they've had 12 meetings. And then in terms of their goals and DAC goals, and at the strategic goals of integrated and inclusive society, what they want to do, they would want to develop, host, and produce performing art production to progressively advance the cultural well-being of all South Africans. It will be 20 productions, 75,000 audience attendance, 1,100 visitors to exhibitions, and 1 publication produced. And also in terms of a transformed and productive art, culture, and heritage sector, they also want to promote the activities of the of Market Theatre in order to promote and enhance the brand of the Market Theatre within South Africa. So they would have 11 stakeholder newspapers, 200 newspaper adverts, 5.5 million publicity value. I think this is what they want to reach. In terms of the professional and capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector, they also want to identify, develop, and contract individuals so as to increase the number of professionals within South Africa. They also want to train and develop interns, students, and community theater practitioners. So in terms of the key output, it will be 100 directors, actors, designers, and technical personnel identified for the development and offer empowerment. And they also want to have 20 students enrolled for the drama course. Also, they want to empower students, also individuals, to participate in photography. They've got the numbers, like 20 individuals registered in structured training initiatives such as advanced programming, photography, photojournalism, and documentary photography programs. And also 65% of the individuals should successfully complete various training initiatives that are mentioned above. And the other matters, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we thought that we need to just talk to the issue of the amalgamation of Market Theatre and the Windy Brow Theatre, because that process has been concluded and the staff have been fully incorporated in the Market Theatre. Because since 2013, we know that the department was inundated with complaints of ongoing infighting between the council and the executive management of the Windy Brow Theatre, and the council and the management disagreed on how the affairs of this entity should be managed. And the infighting between the council and the management compromised the operations of the institution. And the department made several attempts to resolve this conflict without success. As a measure of last resort, a decision was taken to dissolve the council of the then Windy Brow Theatre. The council of the Market Theatre was appointed as the accounting authority of the entity. The minister then approved that Windy Brow Theatre must be amalgamated into Market Theatre so that it's one organization. Then a joint operations team was set up to oversee the process of integrating Windy Brow Theatre into Market Theatre. The National Treasury and the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture were informed of this process. And National Treasury also did the due diligence report. But National Treasury directed that this process must be finalized before the 1st of April 2016, so that when the funds are allocated, that they can then fund this institution as one. And the department prepared the necessary notice in the form of a gazette,
The notice was approved by the minister on the 2nd March 2016, and it was gazetted. The gazette was published on the 18th of March 2016, and the National Treasury then confirmed to the department that the delisting of Windy Brow Theatre has been done as a Schedule 3 public entity, and that they are now part of Market Theatre. So we no longer have Windy Brow. We received communique from the Minister of Finance on the 2nd February 2017. So these are the implications that the council had to be dissolved. The audit committee had to also look at all the liabilities and of the Windy Brow issues, market management, incorporate staff, look at the annual and the strategic plans, and also budget. And I think the main issue was the assets and the liabilities of Windy Brow. And yeah, but now just to indicate that the Windy Brow, also the Heritage House, has been refurbished. And if the members of the portfolio committee can go there, they will see a different picture. And they have appointed the manager for the Windy Brow, center, so that the productions. When I was there the other day, I could hear some singing, and things are happening at the heritage site. Honourable Chair, honourable members, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DDG. I think the last time we were there, it was not, things were not that good the last time we were there. But we are encouraged to hear that now it's complete. And the manner in which the takeover was processed, I think it was good when we last met. Everybody was happy with the way things were going. So that's really one of the things that when we came out of the Market Theatre, then we said, wow, this is good. This is the manner in which this very sensitive thing is handled here is encouraging. Giving over to the chairperson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for those kind words. And Madam Chair, to the honourable members of the Portfolio Committee and the esteemed members also of the DAC. I'm Gwanele Gumbi. I'm the Chair of the Market Theatre Foundation. I'm with today with my CFO, which is Christine McDonald, and also my CEO, Mr. Ismail Mohammed. It's been a long journey for us. The Market Theatre really acts around two words, artistic excellence. It defines who we are. And we know we are guided by legislation, but we do not act based on legislation. We act far above it in terms of outputs, in terms of making sure that this country is seen through its cultural work. And we do this daily in the work we do. We've just commissioned the building. It's full. It's on stream. We moved in December 2016. There are images to which you will have to see around it. The Heritage House, as your last visit when you came to us, things were not good. We just inherited the problem. It's been fixed. And if I may speak 1 second on the issue, I think there is a case study that needs to be developed in the event that another entity of government is not working. You can put it or collapse it to another, which has best practice. And through that, you can make sure that all the areas or the core competencies are retained and the objectives are still met. I think the Windy Brow and the Market Theatre fit was an excellent case study. And I think in future, somebody must document that, because you may find that we have too many entities. You may need to collapse them, but you also need to know how to do it. And I would like then to ask my CEO to present. Thereafter, Christine will present, and then I will emerge towards the end, and then we take questions. Our presentation is going to be regarded as read. We're going to be high level, because we are told the committee has got a level of IQ. So we're going to be really high level, and then we'll be done in no time so that we can engage further. But we thank you for the opportunity. See you.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. and 50 members of the AC. The last time I was here was just about 2 weeks after I was appointed to the post, and today I'm coming back exactly 9 months later. So it feels like coming to the relatives to deliver the baby. But thank you very much for this wonderful opportunity to be accountable, because I think that's crucial. The Market Theatre, in terms of its vision, has been one that is transformative. We're a 40-year-old institution, but we're a 17-year-old institution under the Cultural Institutions Act. And that has required an enormous amount of rethinking around the way we go. As an institution that was grounded in protest theatre, our vision is significantly around how we become a place of healing and reconciliation, a place of building a nation, and one that still continues to tell the South African stories in a very, very authentic way and through excellence. Our mission is that we work cross-genre. We do believe that expression is not necessarily just grounded within the structure of an institution, but that creativity has no boundaries, and that we can present theatre, music, dance, visual art, as well as include those particular cultural expressions that have not been represented in the past in traditional structures of our buildings. We're incredibly committed to the growth of our youth, and particularly in terms of how we catapult them into the industry. So rooted within our institution and the mission of our institution is programs such as the Incubator Program, the Photo Workshop, the Swakala Festival, and the Market Theatre Lab. We're also committed to the community in which we're surrounded in terms of the way we draw them in as our audiences, but also the way we engage them, and the way we build skills that we plant back into that community. And therefore, at least 24 of our alumni are working at inner city schools to grow the capacity of teachers in those particular schools. Our values are reflected by our content. We also have an artistic committee that supports and guards our artistic freedom, but also is one that holds us accountable constantly. Our authenticity and our excellence is judged both internationally by the awards that we win, but also by the number of invitations that we receive as an institution to represent South Africa abroad. We're committed to our clients, but we're also committed to our staff, and we're ongoing in terms of staff development. Our values is that we recognize the history of our theatre in terms of where we emerged from, but we place ourselves in the present, but we continue to envision the way we move forward into the future, and that this opportunity of having reflected on our past 40 years allows us to think of where we're going to be moving into the future in terms of responding to the needs of our country. As a theatre, we're completely accountable in terms of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the legislations, and our principles of good governance, and the various subcommittees that we have within our council are those committees that hold us accountable. We acknowledge the commitment of our staff through the ongoing staff training and the exchanges that we allow them to participate in, largely to grow the capacity, and we'll talk about that in a short while again. We're incredibly grateful to the DAC for the support that it's given us, a grant to be able to consolidate our operations into one particular building. We were separated in four different buildings across the city, or across Newtown. We now have two buildings right across the city that in many, many ways talk to each other, the old and the new, but not as separate entities, rather as complementary entities in terms of the way we grow. Our Market Theatre Laboratory, Market Photo Workshop, and the admin offices and our theatres are now consolidated in a common space, and in many, many ways, more than just culturally, that has done an enormous amount to regenerate and revitalize the economy of New York. Not New York, Newtown. I'd love it to be New York, of Newtown. our organizational structure, I was just testing whether everyone's going to work with me. Not at all. We're going to take over. We're going to colonize that country. Our organizational structure is constantly evolving. Having been consolidated into a common building now that allows us to relook at the way we operate and that instead of moving from organizational structures that are fragmented in terms of our different units, we're now going to be looking at the way we work in terms of clusters. So within the next year or two, there would be significant changes within the organogram structure, largely to be responsive to the way we continue to operate. All our strategic outcomes are linked to the national outcomes, largely around how we become efficient, we become accountable as a public service agency, but that we also continually contribute towards the growth of the nation in many, many ways. I'm not going to go through each of these individually because I'm taking these as read. So I'm going to move to Christine, largely to talk around our funders and the way our funders are partners and stakeholders with us in terms of helping us achieve our objectives.
We are, we get a very huge portion of our funding, of course, from the Department of Arts and Culture, but that mainly or only covers the operational and the overhead costs of the Market Theatre. So for every single program that we do, whether it is a training program or a festival or a production on stage, we need to find additional funding for that. And here we were heavily reliant on the lottery in the past, but we get bits of funding from a number of other organizations, such as the Open Society, the Ford Foundation, Bloomberg, G.G. Murray Trust, the Embassy of the USA, Fussy Guru for the photo workshop, and Getty Images. So there is a long list, but the only one that gives a meaningful amount is really the lottery. And I just wanted to list, because we are going to go into this as a public entity of the department, you know, on the amount that we have been receiving from the lottery over time, which is quite a lot, and if this falls away, it might leave a very big hole for us to fill with somebody else or various other funders. expenditure history. Set out. Oh, it's also not clear on board. But from 2010 to the provisional figures for 2017, it grew from 35,000 to about 65,000, the total expenditure. Of course, the last year, you can see how the DAC funding increased from 2016 from 29 million to 43 in 2017, and that's because of the Windy Brow, of course. So the DAC funding moved from about 49% of the expenditure to about 66% of the expenditure, but that changes every year, because if we get a lot of funding and we can do a lot of programming for that year, it will be lower, and if we don't and we have to make do with what we've got, then the DAC funding is higher. Funding is the Market Theatre's biggest risk, because if we don't raise funding for our programs, we will be sitting around paying ourselves salaries and maintaining the building, which is not at all what we want to achieve. So funding, and everybody at the Market Theatre is very passionate that we need to deliver, and we are there to make productions and to put them on the stage and to train people, and if we can't do that, then we have no reason for being. The budget requirements, now that we've got the Windy Brow as part of us, it looks different to the slides that the department put up, because, of course, when they pay us any capital works grants, they include it in the amount, whereas I only include whatever was spent or actually used for the year, and the remainder we would then show as unutilized grant. So the line there that says DAC grant, including capital works, would be the amount that we've actually spent in that year. And then we have always had other funding as well as other income, which the other income would include ticket sales, it would include a little bit of rental income, it would include tuition fees and such. So there is and we're trying as an objective to grow that line as well, because the funding line becomes more and more difficult. Then I just included the strategic objectives and our key performance areas over the 5-year period. We did revise our strategic plan now when we prepared the Shareholders Compact, simply because the Windybrow is with us now, and whatever we had as a five-year plan before is no longer applicable. So we'd like to grow the audiences to 80,000 again. It did go down, and there's a big jump you can see from 55 to 75 in the next year, because it will be the first year that we have all our theatres back running again. We had always had one under construction, so it's a very big jump, and we hope we're going to be able to do that. On the next slide, it's artistic skills development, all the various items that we or programs that we have to develop people. The biggest would be the market laboratory. They have a first year and a second year annual school for people to come in and study, and we have huge long lists of people who apply, and then we can only accommodate 20, unfortunately. And then we have the festival. We used to do two festivals a year. That has not been possible because of funding. So we dropped that to one festival a year, but we're going to try and up the attendance to these festivals and keep that virtually the same. further skills development is in the photo workshops. They have a number of short courses and then longer year courses that they run every year, and they try to at least show a pass rate of about 67% in the next 2 years. Then the stakeholder management and awareness would include newsletters, internal and external. Actually, what's not here now, since Ishmael joined us, we have a weekly newsletter, The Buzz, going out to remind people of, that's only electronically, but to remind people of what's happening in the very next week so that they don't necessarily have to go and visit our website, but they get it on their laptops. And then funding is very important. The fundraiser, we have one fundraiser, and she has a target of 12, 13, 14, 15 million. It is a huge amount. She's been with us for many years, and she often achieves what the target is, but this is really what we need to be able to do the programming. Not easy to actually achieve. I went all of Ishmael's slides. I'm very sorry. Okay, I'm on a roll, yeah. Then we get to the Windybrow. We have been managing the Windybrow since April 2014, but the amalgamation took place in April 2016. And it is quite nice to report that all the staff are very much in. Part of the market theatre. I don't even think they think themselves as Windybrow staff. We've had a few people who've retired since, but it's going very well. And I mean, we don't even, I think, see them as Windybrow staff. It is, however, quite a big thing. Dak has referred to the fact that we've only got unqualified reports, because in every year we've still had matters of, what do we call that?
Emphasis.
Yeah, I think I would like to stress to the committee that for us it is a very big thing that we have these masses of emphasis. But if you take into account that in the last 2 years we've had to take over an organisation that has really been in a very bad state. At the same time, we've had capital works projects of over 100 million. And we have three people in the finance department, and we have one supply chain person, and we have to do all of this. And not because we want to, because that's what our budget allows. So we try our absolute utmost, but it is very difficult for the resources that we have. Hopefully, when the capital works projects become fewer, it will be easier. But we still have the phase two of the Windybrow, and we still have, we heard as a very nice surprise that we'll be able to do the Barney and the Foyer as well. They're not nearly as big as what we've just done, but it's very exciting.
I'll come back from there, thank you. Since activating the space last year, we've looked at the staffing needs of Windybrow. We certainly don't want to send the old staff back to Windybrow. They're an essential part of the Market Theatre Foundation and integrated in the Market Theatre Foundation. But what we've done is we've consolidated the way we do promotions, technical services to include the Windybrow Theatre as part of the rest of the Market Theatre family. We have advertised the position for a Market Theatre head. We had gone through the shortlisting process. We had offered a position to at least one candidate who had been shortlisted. However, the documentation that the person needed to provide could not be submitted to us, and we were then not able to recruit that particular person. We have since gone through wide-scale recruitment through an agency, and we're in the process of reviewing the shortlist, and we think we would be able to make that appointment shortly. However, that does not deter us from continuing to utilize the space, and that we've already had a number of events at the Market Theatre, at the Windybrow Theatre. We, for example, the ACTH AGM and workshop. This is the conference and the organization that caters for theatre for young audiences and for educational theatre. I had their workshop and the conference there. We have a partnership with the Wits University Drama Department, and we're in the process of signing an MOU with Wits University around programming at the Windybrow Theatre. We've had our own staffing strategy event together with our board of directors, some of our alumni and students, and a number of productions have been rehearsing at the Windybrow Theatre. So at any given time that one walks into the Windybrow Theatre, there is sound, there is music, there is life happening in that particular facility. We've also begun to explore a number of partnerships through our foreign diplomatic missions. We've had visits by the Embassy of Netherlands, and we're in the process of finalizing a grant agreement with the Embassy of Netherlands for work that would be presented at the Windybrow as well as some of our other facilities. We've had the visit from the U.S. Embassy and are in the process of looking at how we move forward with a partnership from them. We've had a visit by the Embassy of France, and we've been able to successfully sign an MOU with the Embassy of France, and we're going to be having our first event through that MOU next month at the Windybrow Theatre. We have a number of African Month events, and we're locating one of our major African Month events, Fête de la Musique, which is scheduled for the 15th of May. That will take place at the Windybrow Centre. For us, locating it in that particular space re-emphasizes the vision that we have around how we broaden around the Pan-African vision, but also the connectivity with the diaspora that is around that particular theatre. All our partnerships that we generate at the Windybrow Theatre are administered and governed through the processes that we have at the Market Theatre Foundation. I'm going to hand over to the chairperson of council to take us through the last two slides that we have there.
If I can just thank you, Ishmael. Okay. There are pending issues that relate to the Windybrow collapse. It is the one that is of the CEO and CFO, as well as the one of Fundi Communications. What we have determined over time is that the suppliers that were part of the process of siphoning money out of the institution are somewhat related to the CEO and CFO, one way or the other. In other words, when you ask for certain details from them, they always refer you to another one, and if they take you to court, they use the similar type of lawyers and the same type of argument even in court. So in short, Fundi Communication was, in quote-unquote, the project manager of the project. They were awarded a contract unlawfully for 22 million rand, which the board of then Windybrow had given the CEO and CFO the authority not to sign anything above 50,000. But they went on post that resolution and awarded them a 22 million contract. With that, they paid them, I think, a 2 million rand deposit just as a start of work. So they're suing us for that. They're litigating us for that, and we're defending that. Because first, there was no work done. Secondly, that is irregular, no proper procedure. So we are forced into that position. And part of the agreement to take over Windybrow was that we asked the DAC through the minister to give us an undertaking that in an unlikely event, that should we lose a case such as this, including all appeals, we will then be able not to wipe the money that relates to the market theatre, but rather the department will step in. The case is clear and it's winnable, but again, as you would know, the wheels of justice are slow. So the case is pending on our side. We've replied with all the affidavits. We're busy waiting for dates. In fact, there is a date, the 26th of May, 2017. And we do not know whether the matter sits then or it will be postponed to another date. But we will keep the DAC and the department and the portfolio committee appraised with it. The second part is the CEO, CFO. Again, when this Fundi communication sort of settles, it will then tell us how they will approach us when it comes to this, because they work in tandem. But this is the tail end of all the litigation that we've been part of and trying to stamp out any undue or any continuous payment to people who caused the collapse in the first place. Because they caused the collapse, they will run away with paperwork, and then they ask their suppliers to come and litigate, ask for contracts that they've already been paid deposits to, but no work was done. So it is a complicated mess. But we're at the tail end. To date, we've not paid anyone except a lot of legal fees. And I must also put in a disclaimer from what the Madam Chair said. The market theatre is not at war with itself. None of us are taking each other to court. It's just making sure that the maladministration that related to Windy Brow was stopped, and making sure that whoever is acting in concert to continue to perpetuate the corruption is actually stopped. Hence, we've gone for very reputable legal experts, and also making sure that in all things that we need to do to stop it, we've done our best. So that matter is going forward. And lastly, there is going to be a slide. I want to show you some pictures. Yeah, you can skip that. Yeah, the PFMA, the details. Oh, then speak to the highlights. So let me say this before we go to the images. Last year was our 40th anniversary, one of the most significant years we've had, I'll call it post-democracy, because of just the sheer number of successes. We rebirthed ourselves in terms of excellence and things that they did. And maybe Ishmael will just touch on it. And it really was a remarkable year. This year, the first 3 months of 2017, has been nothing short of being exceptional. Let him speak to that, and then I'll come back on the photography part.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. I just mentioned that as a theatre, we position ourselves within the social justice space. We've won, our students at the Market Theatre Laboratory have won the Adelaide Tambo Human Rights Award for Advocacy. Art Advocacy, this is the second human rights award that our students at the Market Theatre Laboratory have won. That, in addition to the theatre's own international award that it won, the Chesmin Award for Human Rights. We've also won the Barca Award, which again is a good indicator of where we position ourselves within a creative economy, and that we do put emphasis on the economy, because that means we are able to contribute to the livelihoods of the people we work with. Our theatre has won 54 nominations for Naledi Awards, which again is an indicator of the excellence with which we work. I have mentioned the number of MOUs that we've signed, and we are currently signing with a number of partners, so that whatever programs we do are not just once-off programs, but that they do continue over a two-year or three-year programs, and that we are able to measure the success of those particular programs. We also work very, very closely as an entity of government. We do believe that we need to work across the different entities of government, so we do work closely with the Durco Heads of Mission. We have presented the play I See You for the Durco Heads of Mission, and we've been able to host an event at the Market Theatre for various heads of missions. And for us that is crucial, because it allows us to be able to allow our theatre to be at the centre of public and cultural diplomacy. We've been able to scoop a partnership with the British Council, which does mean that our students don't have to wait until they graduate to be able to participate in international exchanges. They will be traveling to Europe this year to participate in a cross-cultural collaboration. At least 6 of our staff, not at senior level, but at middle management and junior level, were able to be funded fully to take part in international exchanges, and this we've been able to achieve through our partnerships with the MOUs that we have with the various embassies. We've had students, our middle management travel to South Korea, to South America, and we feel that South-to-South relationship is incredibly important. We've had a partner also travel to Russia, because we do believe that DERCO relationship in terms of BRICS is quite important for us in terms of how we as a theatre position ourselves in the public and cultural diplomacy sphere. We have won a partnership with the Ibsen Foundation for a world premiere of Mike from France play, When Swallows Cry, which dealt largely with the issue of migration and refugees. We believe in creating accessibility through various languages, so we try to create work in more than just English, and we try to do work in the very, we've done in the past, in the year in review, at least three African languages, including sign language. We've staged to date three plays in sign languages with a sign interpreter along the production. Alumni from the Market Theatre Laboratory, Monachim Mocheli, won this year's Standard Bank Young Artist Award, and his work will premiere in Grahamstown. So too Sonia Hadebe, who won the Sophie Bettina New Voices Award for Dance at the Market Theatre, will premiere her work at the National Arts Festival in Grahamstown this year. The head of our Market Theatre Laboratory, Clara Vaughan, has attained a Master's Cum Laude, and we believe that the academic qualification that she's won will allow us to continue to grow the curriculum in a way that we can begin to ultimately find accreditation for the program that we offer at the Market Theatre. We're incredibly committed to celebrating South African legacies. So just before Tandi Klaassen passed away, we were able to present her last performance at the Market Theatre, and that for us is a historical legacy part for us that no other theatre could do that. We were able to preempt that that was going to be a last, and we were able to have her on our stage. In terms of national legacies, we recognize the importance of Fort Hare as an institution that has been the home of breeding South African leadership. And this year we decided that instead of putting the spotlight on a political leader, we decided to put the spotlight on a literary alumnus, and we chose Kantemba, and we've staged at least three plays of his work there. But we also believe in constantly being able to reflect, and because this year is the 10th anniversary of the reclamation of the name Sophiatown from Triumph, we decided to bring back Sophiatown, but that again for us is crucial because it is a set work for schools. So it's not just about servicing the educational needs, but also being able to service their understanding of history. We, together with that set work, we're staging Itsoseng, which is in the African indigenous language as well. Now, these are pictures of gratitude from Newtown, and I'm getting it right this time, from Newtown that looked as if it was a place of despair. With the grant that we got from the DAC, we now have a place of hope, a place of aspiration, a place that looks like a campus, and a place that allows our young artists to become innovators and contributors to the economy as well. This is the building, which is a historic building. It's the Schlommer House, which was one of the last eating houses when the place was still a market and where blacks and whites could eat together. This is a different view of the Market Square. This is during its building operations. And again, a significant part of the old heritage buildings have been preserved thanks to Christine, who's worked very, very closely with the team and has headed our building operations. We were able to take this to the point at which we have. This is our building, which now stands as the pride of Newtown. The interior of our building, this is Windybrow before. And those of you who did the walkabout will recognize the spaces. This is how it looked before, a place of complete despair. And this is how it now looks after all the refurbishments. And we've been able to get accreditation from the Heritage Council that we've been completely compliant with all aspects of heritage conservation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, CEO, and thank you to you, Christine, as well. I think what's important for us, maybe just to place this on record, I regard my position as chair to be one of an enabler.
That's really my job. And I would like to place it on record that through the CEO and the CFO and together with our entire staff, they've really done an incredible job. And for that, if this committee can just place it on record that we are sincerely grateful to them for the level of skill in all this work. We didn't even steal one rand. You know, it is just not even an issue. It just works. Because why? That's how we are, and that's how we believe in the value system of what we are trying to do here. And for that, I think we're really grateful. Just to tell you, in my portfolio as chair, the CEO's contract is, of course, 5 years plus two. They're both grey, because at the Market Theatre, we're always working 10, 15 years ahead. I know they shouldn't be hearing this, but we've discussed it in a way with them. We've got a contract with them going into the future. We want their best work to be at the Market Theatre, to retire there. But their retirement is not when they can't see, but to retire by doing their best final professional lives, because I think they'll morph themselves up into something else after that. And that is ongoing. They are very close in terms of age, and it is a concern for us when we're looking at them. But at the same time, we realize that the benefit of having them both at the helm of our institution for the next years, or 5 plus 2 years, is one that is remarkable for the Market Theatre, especially when we're facing the headwinds that we have. Politically, how things are on your side, they create nervousness in our portfolio. So people like me have to read and interpret that, because there's no money, no money, no money. Tomorrow, we'll not have enough funds. The CFO has been extended as well, her contract, for a further 5 years. One of her single tasks is to bring over the second phase of Windebrow. So as we get more money from the Department of Arts and Culture, she lends that across the finish line. And that is one of her primary assignments post this. I raise this thing because I think it's important to know what drives change and what drives progress. And we drive it through them. And I was telling them earlier on, they're seeing me less and less and less. I'm trying to work myself out of a job with them, because the system has been completed. And in future, I do expect that if I'm not there, someone else will be, but the ethos will continue, which is what I'm also asking of them and their teams, to work themselves out of a job, because at the end of the day, it cannot be individuals. The model must work, regardless of who's part of it. And for that, we thank the DAC, we thank the Portfolio Committee for constantly visiting us. And whenever we have to explain things, you accept at face value our commentary. And we really treat you with respect, and thank you for the respect you've afforded us.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure you could see from our responses when you were presenting that this presentation has been like a breath of fresh air, because it's, you know, the manner in which you do things in this entity and the manner in which you reach out, it's the manner in which things should be done. And we really appreciate and we commend you for the good work that you are doing. And as I said earlier, the issue of Windebrow, when we went there, we were like, how are they going to do this? Because, you know, people complain all the time, and people will compare, and people will do all those things that are going to make you not sure of what you're doing. But you did it so well, and we were sitting there listening to the process, because as the committee, we really focus on the process, because we believe that a flawed process will bring a flawed product. But if the process is good, then the product will be good as well. So we want to commend you for the good work that you are doing. And the succession plan, I think this is where we miss it in these institutions and entities, even within the government departments, the succession plan. Because what you are doing today is the history of tomorrow. Yeah. So what you're doing today, the manner in which you do things today, matters now, and it will matter in the time to come. So we really appreciate the manner in which you're doing things, and we need to know exactly the succession plan. What are you planning? You know that you're going to transfer skills to do this, but how are you going to do it? I think for us it's very important, because we don't want to see an institution that was performing well. When you're gone, it goes down. We want, you know, to see how you are going to ensure that even when you are gone, this institution will perform as you are performing now. And one other thing that I think is important for us as the portfolio committee is that the question that we've been asking the theaters, the issue of ensuring that people from disadvantaged communities benefit from the market, from the theaters, because you would understand that a lot of this was not in our space, you know. So now you have to build, you know, people from our previously disadvantaged communities. You have to build audiences. You have to ensure that they become part of the whole game of theaters. And I think it's important for us as the portfolio committee to know your plan on audience, you know, development, because we've been in the margin of the whole thing. Honorable members, are there any questions? Honorable Mokoti.
No, Chairperson, thank you. I'm from Gauteng, and you know, when you talk about Maggie Theatre, you know, you just bring a smile on my face, because taking the present before and now, it's different thing. There's a mall, you know, it's a multi-purpose center and a multi-center that is there. Thank you. But my question is around the photographic school. Are you partnering with any theatre? And I just wanted to know about the accreditation after young people come in there. And in terms of the enrollment, do you check those who are in poverty-stricken communities? And how are you touching lives? Because where Maggie Theatre is, it's far from the townships. Thank you.
And I know when you talk about something that's in Gauteng, you've really touched her.
Chair, there was obviously no reason for me to come in. We will assign Mr. Makonda to do his thesis with that on the success of what we have received here. How I wish that we had this hearing in public and not in such a closed fora, because we need more of this kind of positives that the public should actually know, because we're getting so much negative. It's unfortunate that we couldn't get a proper fora for such a lively engagement to be presented to the country. So it's unfortunate that we're really having this presentation in this forum, but it is about leadership. It's about leadership. Things okay and fall on the basis of leadership. And the chair, you know, good leaders normally relegate their responsibilities to others. We know that's modest. But congratulations to you. We seldom congratulate people in committees, but I guess you deserve from all of ourselves. I think I'm speaking for both the governing and the opposition parties. You have our unqualified accolades for the good work, and I guess it will get into the records of our portfolio as well as in our debates. For those who are debating this year, I think it's important that we highlight this good work. And thanks, CEO and CFO. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I don't regret, Chair, when you refused that
I should attend the Water Portfolio Committee. But I had a reason why I wanted to go. The reason was that we met with Market Theatre last year, and I know they're the best. So there was nothing for me to be here. There are other people out there who are making trouble, so I wanted to go and attend to them. But I don't regret. You see, politician, chair, even if there's nothing, they will always try to find something. And I can't find something. I can't find something, chair. But the one issue, chair, that I want to raise to you is that since we arrived here as a portfolio committee, we have been acting like fire extinguishers, going to where problems are, but not going to where good people are doing good job. And I think we need to balance that. Because it looks like there is a problem in all these entities. And we should sometimes visit good people who are doing good job. And if possible, and we take these bad people who are doing bad job to the good people who are doing good job. Literally grab them there. I think it is going to assist. But on the research that I was doing on quality institution, I was doing a research. I want to test Market Theatre on that research. We've got a number of institutions in the country which are quality institutions. Whether the CEO leaves or stay, they remain quality institutions. And if you come there as a CEO with your own things, you can't do anything. They change you instead of changing them. They are there in the country. I'm not going to mention any. But you know Treasury is one of them. SARS is one of them. But what I want to ask to the chair, it relates to the issue which the chair of the portfolio committee has raised, the issue of your succession. Robert Klitgaard says it's not a corruption if you identify a particular objective and you embark on a particular process to achieve that particular objective. Like, you can go and add, or you identify capable people within your pool, and you mentor that particular person to be CFO. You take that particular person on a mentorship program for quite some time. It's not corruption because you want to achieve a particular object. In fact, you want to retain what the current CFO is doing. So I want to check you on that, but also that which relates to the culture in the institution. If the two leave and you leave, Chair, we're not going to have problems where this quality institution are not necessarily quality of the institution, but individuals who are there in those institutions. That's one issue that I want to tap, Chair. The other issue, it relates to the legal fees that you are talking about, whether there was a formal commitment by the department. In case you don't win that case, they step in. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makondo. The entity is targeting 90% to vacancy. You, when filling your vacancies, you are saying that you are targeting 90%. And what does that mean? I mean, I believe that an institution needs to have 100% if you want to deliver on your mandate. So what are the implications of having only 90% of the workforce? I think that's very important. And also, as I said earlier, that as the portfolio committee, the information that you give us should be in a way detailed so that we are in a position to say, okay, you are saying that you are going to have 10 skills programs, for instance, undertaken by staff. You know, you tell us more so that because if it's broad, we can't follow up on that. You'll say, no, it's 10. If it's 10, we need to get the information, the finer details, so that we can be able to do our work. It assists us to be able to do our work. Like, for instance, if you're saying that you're enrolling so many students, 20 students will complete their first year, for instance, and 20 will enter the following. Are you talking about the same students? Those that, you know, so that we are clear, we don't assume, because assumption doesn't work in the work that we are doing. So it's very important that when you give us information, you give us exactly so that we are able to when we are doing our oversight, we are able to say, you said you are going to do this, you're going to train so many people, and this is where they are going to go. We follow and see if what you said is happening. So, but I think, as the members have said, you're doing a good job, and I'm now going to give you an opportunity to perform.
Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to delegate this between the two of you, and then there's others I'll take. Ishmael, take the issue of CETAs, take the issue of audience development, and Christine, you will take, and also take programs, the detail around programs. Please take the vacancy, how we use the vacancy to structure ourselves, especially when we don't have money. And then I'll take the balance.
Thank you very much. One of the philosophies that we've emphasized at the Market Theatre is that we don't offer jobs, we offer careers, and we map out those career pathways for our staff. I did mention in my presentation that the staff who we invested in for those exchange programs were not senior management, but middle management and a little lower level. For us, that is an essential part of mapping their careers for them so that they could move forward and be able to take the leadership positions that we want them to take. We have since last year appointed a human resources manager. Prior to that, we had a human resources practitioner. A manager, we believe, with a staff complement as big as ours, and where we're putting an enormous emphasis on mapping career paths, is a necessary role. So the human resources manager plays a strategic part with us in terms of reviewing the organogram. So any vacancies that are presently on our organogram, not that we have a lack of will to fill them, but it comes in with our vision of re-envisaging our organization and to be able to think of where do we want the organization to be in the next 5 years and how will any vacancy that we fill in now lead up to that particular process 5 years from now in terms of stability and the kind of succession plan that we want to have. In terms of new audiences, we have re-looked at our audience development department. We previously had two audience development officers whose large role was to be able to bring audiences in. And we found just bringing audiences in and sending them out was not a sustainable way towards audience development. We've restructured one of those particular positions to become an audience engagement strategist. And we believe that by taking a single audience and having multiple experiences with them, we will be able to find them coming back to the theater over and over. The role of the audience engagement strategist is to have programs built with audiences who come and see a particular production, and those lead to post-performance productions, to forums, to workshops at their schools with the actors, with the teachers teachers and so forth, and we feel that that way of engaging with them will create sustainable audiences that we have. Again, I did mention about the 24 alumni that we have from our market lab who are located in university schools. For us, that is a catchment area that we have, but we also do have productions that go outside of the market theatre to perform in various areas, so that when we stage the work It's a Sing, we did send our company out to It's a Sing to engage with the local community there, and hopefully that community will come back into the market theatre. Likewise, when we staged for Firetown, we did bring that community into the theatre. So it's an ongoing process that we're constantly looking at, which is dynamic.
Do you have an idea of the artists in school program of the department?
Yes. We've taken an overview and a survey of all the different programs that the department offers, not just through the Department of Arts and Culture, but across different departments, whether it's DERCO or DDR or whatever, and to be able to see how we can tap into that. So with regard to the CETUS and the particularly in response to the photo workshop, we've now consolidated our curriculum into an online prospectus. And that prospectus is available to institutions and to anyone else that wants to look at the nature and the extent of our program. The MOU that we are engaging with in terms of which university will lead towards that process of accreditation, but our human resources manager will now also begin to look at CETUS and other skills building opportunities. The practitioner that we had could not engage at that level of strategy and higher level of thinking. Our human resources manager is able to think along with us in terms of how we want to move forward for a longer term skills building process. And then just, I need to mention that with every single production that we present in our theater, we do engage a mentor director and a mentee to work alongside that particular production, and that once a mentee has directed at least two productions, we then allow them to direct a production on their own. And again, that for us is a wonderful way of measuring growth. We do recognize that at the present moment, there is a major gap in terms of the number of black women directors available for theater, and we are particularly interested in investing in that. We've over the last 5 or 6 months given at least 4 opportunities for women directors to so that we're able to fill that particular vacuum that exists in the South African creative industry.
Christine, okay, thank you. Did you cover the CETA?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, just one last matter that I could mention. When we spoke earlier about institutions learning from each other, the DAC funds the incubator program at the different cultural institutions. In June this year, all 5 cultural institutions will be coming to the Market Theatre for a week-long program during which all the incubator programs will be participating in showcasing. We'll be introducing them to a range of other stakeholders, which includes producers, festival directors, so that those incubators can be exposed into the creative industries, but that we also do encourage greater dialogue and collaboration between the 5 different cultural institutions.
Honourable Chair, thank you. as far as the vacancy rate is concerned, we've had quite a number of years with very low staff turnover. But I must say in the last, I would say 3 years, it picked up a bit. I suppose because we can't, mainly because we can't even keep up with inflation. We don't get inflation from the department, and therefore you can't, if your biggest expense is salaries, it's very difficult to then give an inflationary increase to staff. So people do leave us. Mainly because of better salaries elsewhere, but we've also got a huge number of people who have been there for a very long time, and they, I don't think, will go anywhere. They're sort of linked to the market theatre. The turnover, if I say, has increased. It was 11% the year before last, and last year 12%. So it's not very high, but it is higher than what we were used to. Then, secondly, some of the positions are quite of a difficult nature. You know, you don't find stage managers that easily, and you don't find designers or lighting designers or set designers or whatever the case may be. It's not a position that's that easy to fill. So, and because people often have to be mentored and have to be developed, there has been a tendency for those positions to then appoint somebody and appoint them for 6 months or a year or, and a contract period, which then remains as a vacancy on our books because there's not a permanent position, but there is somebody sort of studying into that. So I don't think we have, we've got 50 employees, so it's 5 employees. I don't think there are always 5 employees vacant, but they might not be there full-time often. And if they then produce the goods and we are happy, we would convert those temporary employees or contract employees into full-time.
Thank you. Let me just touch on the issues of succession planning as well as the issues of that come as a result of that. Maybe let me start with the issue of the detailed part of our presentation. Often we are taught presentations should be less, 15 minutes at most when you present. I think maybe in future when we do get another opportunity to come to before the portfolio committee, we may decide to produce maybe a 5-page report on certain aspects of our programs and then summarize those still to the 15 minutes of a presentation so that for the benefit of the portfolio committee members, they can just read that. Because I can tell you now, the degree of detail that we go through for anything that we do sometimes is overwhelming and we can't even finish you with the detail. We have it. That's why our success rate is high. We try and save you from the burden of papers, because really we do have that much. But maybe in future, just to take the point, we can just give a bit more so that you can have the grasp of what we do behind the scenes. Now let's come to succession planning. The reason I mentioned the CEO as well as the CFO and going forward, this is talking already to 2022, 2023. This is something that we've done today. It's something that we've thought about. You would remember, as some members of the portfolio committee, that during the 40th year of our anniversary, we changed CEOs in the middle of the year. And to people who didn't know, to people who were not aware of where we were going as council, we create a future, and then we execute towards getting there. So when we did that, we knew what we were getting. We're bringing on stream an increased sense of agency into the vision of artistic excellence. We are giving the sense of reality to that continued relevance of the market theatre. One of the other discussions we're having just outside this presentation is the artistic committee. We've got an artistic committee, not to tamper with the artistic freedoms, but to also have some contemporary work. I would love, just as a sidebar, I would love to see next week or in a month's time that the Market Theatre does a production called Captured, State of the Nation. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's today, it's relevant. I don't care who will write it, who will produce it, but I expect if it's at the Market Theatre,
it will be at a particular level. Yes, for Sofitel is great. I don't take that away. But there is today. The house is burning today, not tomorrow. So that's one of the conversations we are having at the Market Theatre. So there's a lot of pressure and disruptions we are creating in order to be at our best. That's why I'm saying we fly over legislation. Legislation we give you because we respect it, but our thinking is at a different level. So when we talk succession for just these two individuals, we're already talking 2022, 2023. I've had the conversation with the CEO that I would like, even though I may not be there, that the next CFO would be an African female. We call things by name. We're not shy about that because it's part of the things we do. And we accept, we share the same point of view. And already in our audit committee, we've just accepted 4 young African women who are based all over the country. Not based all over, who are from all over the country, 4 of them. They are all chartered accountants. I think they're under 40.
They're under
30. Some of them are even under 30. They're getting into our pipeline of our audit committee. They work alongside it for the next, I don't know how many years. I'm not suggesting that they are potentials only. Anyone else is a potential. But what I'm trying to say is that we're even bringing those constituencies. Part of what I've also done, by the way, you don't know this, part of what I do in terms of saying I'm an enabler, I look at my board members and I have to find what makes them excited. And I have to plug in. And if I need to do them favors, I then come to my CEO, CFO and say, experience this one with this. Some of them are liking fundraising. I took the very same board members, 1 or 2 of them, because the PIC, Public Investment Corporation, is on the drive of African women empowerment. I took those individuals through my own networks and I've placed them there. You see, then they are much more closer to the Market Theatre, which is something offline. Those are the enabling elements that one brings on the table. So what I'm saying is that the culture of the Market Theatre is strong. We need strong individuals, but the moment you come in there, you don't come to change the place. You come in to give the place, to give yourself to the place, and you can see the streams. Sometimes I admit I'm difficult to work with. You know, it's okay, but they're also difficult to work with. But you know what? I don't want anyone else than them, you know, because we have that respect for each other. So the CEO, CFO, the succession's in place. The fundraiser contract is also in place for at least the next 3 years. Halfway through, we bring in another person. Again, we are always seeing what's underneath or what's behind that corner. We are always a few years in advance. Just lastly, on the Building Capital Works program, we took a 50-year plan. We've built for 50 years. What you see here is a 50-year plan ahead. We get every other day developers coming to us to say, we want some of your buildings. And we look at them, and if they're not good, we're not going to take them. And there will come a time when we make something great out of it. So the thinking is always ahead. What you see, what we are doing today, is something we thought about back then. We're just living it through. We are fascinated about what happens in 2019, what happens in 2020-something, you know? We're fascinated by those things, and we place, and we do complain to the DAC when they don't give us the right support. I will be frank. I've told my team that I don't mind being the bad guy. They don't pay me enough anyway, so I can afford to lose it. I'm telling you, that's the advantage which other council members don't use. They are preserving. There's nothing they give us, literally nothing. It's incomparable. So I'm able to just call it as it is and demand what my team requires. So that is basically the philosophy. The culture is there. I do not foresee, unless the DAC, when our term of office comes to an end, then they completely change us. And because also, don't forget, people who do the right things have to be a bit stubborn. So is the person who does the wrong thing. They have to be. So if you bring a lot that's not good, it will compromise them and it will make them not want to work there and they will start running. It becomes complicated. We still face that as council and explain ourselves because it's the way it is and no one catches anyone after the meeting. It is what it is. And you come out of there, you give the answers and you move forward. So in that, the ethos of the institution is there. The plans that we put in place are always ahead of our time Christine, as I say, she's CFO, but she's going to deliver phase two, provided the DAC gives us the money within this period as well. So you see, it all takes in, fits in. And if they don't, I'm going to escalate the matter. It's just simple as that. And they get irritated and then they give me what I want. These guys have what they want and everyone is happy. So that's the end of the game. So that's how our model is like. We fight for each other to do the right thing. That is why it is easy to be here. I hope we've covered all the questions.
Yes, yes, you have. Thank you very much. And I think I like the part that says you need to be relevant. I think the productions need to be relevant. And we need more of that, where when we look at a production, we are like, is that us?
Sure.
Do we really behave like that? You know? I think you should be our mirror.
Yeah.
So that when a production is there and you're like, no, that can't be us. You know, it raises something in our mind. So I think it's getting exciting. But this conversation is getting exciting. But as we said earlier, that we really commend the manner in which you do your work. And it's like a breath of fresh air, you know, because we're dealing with some negative stuff. But when you get across people who are doing what they are supposed to do in the manner that they are supposed to do it, then you get excited. We want to thank you very much for the good work that you are doing. And we want, we've said this from day one, that ours is not only an oversight mandate. As this committee, we've said from day one that we are there to support as well, to encourage, to advise as well, because it's easier for us from outside to see that area, look at that area, because you are inside, you can't see everything, but people who are from outside can actually see easily what's happening inside. So we would like to encourage you to keep on doing the good work. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Before we adjourn, for the committee is going to give you a briefing on the study tour, it's international study tour. But to the department, we were serious when we said we've never received anything from you on the programs of the department, of the activities of the department, the calendar that Honorable Hotbomb always asks for, that what's happening where and when. Because if you don't invite us early enough here, it means we are not going to attend your activities. You can't invite us today and expect to be there tomorrow. There is a process in Parliament that we have to follow. So we are going to give up now. In fact, we've given up because we don't know what to do. And okay, and the issue of the AG Eastern case, the document that I asked for, and because I would just going home tomorrow, go past the AG's office and get them. So I think we need to ensure that this will happen. Ken, and do you want to?
Yeah, thank you. We also have the report on the forensic audit. Yeah, the NSEF, the response on the investigation also sent to Japan. But we will send to you, Japan. But also we'll also liaise with our comms and marketing for all the events, Honorable Chair, so that we can submit for the whole year. Yes. So that we don't submit in bits and pieces. I'm responsible for international relations. I've got the Africa month. I can't just submit the Africa month. We need to submit for the entire year. I will ask.
I think Africa month is important because we are in May now. So it's gone already. So, but you can actually submit that. It's simplified. Oh.
Afternoon, members. Okay, just a brief. I've written a letter to Derko already for the dates of June, but I've spoken to Chair, requesting that you change those dates to August. Between the 1st and the 18th of August, there is a oversight period. I've written a letter. I'm just waiting for them to come back to me, because in order for me to submit the political application, I need to have the correct estimates of the ground travel and exactly where we're going with the exact program. Because once we submit it with an estimate from my head or whatever, and we say 5 million, and the actual cost is 3 million, and I take it to Mr. Frolic, he might say 5 members must go because of the cost. So we need to get the correct cost so that when he takes the decision, he takes it based on the cost and we have the correct. So we're going to change it to August. Is that okay with members? Okay.
So that we can try and change them.